Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers advisor here in DCU. This week, we are going to examine what is career planning and how to go about it. Joining me in this conversation is Elaine Daly, a colleague and fellow careers advisor. So first of all, very welcome, Elaine. I suppose before we kind of kick into unpacking this a little bit deeply, I suppose what we really want to express to everyone listening to this is career planning is a very big topic. There's books written about it. We as professionals practice it. You know, there's articles, there's, you know, years of theorists in this area. So we don't expect anyone to go away after this episode and be an expert about career planning. What we'd love for you to take from it is to take maybe one or two things away with you and maybe just begin looking at something a wee bit more deeply and take it on from there. And obviously, if you're in DCU, consider booking in for an appointment, or if you're a listener outside of the university, maybe consider contacting a careers practitioner if you feel you would like more expert help in this particular area. So before we go into the deep, maybe we could kind of step back a bit, Elaine, and how would you go about planning your career?
Yeah, thanks for having me anyway, Siobhan. It's great to be on talking to you today. And I suppose when we look at career planning, there's various steps involved, and you really need to kind of go through a bit of a process when you are planning your career. And I suppose the first step in the process is really self-awareness. So really knowing yourself and having that understanding of you. The next step would be knowing your options, so having an awareness of what opportunities exist and what opportunities might be open to you. The next step in the process would be making a decision. With all of that information, I suppose you'd be in a better position to make a more informed, confident decision. Then the next step would be taking action. So that would be going from, you know, making applications, whether it be for job opportunities or further study. And then really, you know, kind of progressing into whatever, you know, opportunity that you're like looking to avail of. And then the final step in the process is really reflecting on all of that. So reflecting on, I suppose, you know, what you've done, where you're currently at, and I suppose taking stock really, and then kind of looking at maybe, you know, what the next steps for you are.
That's brilliant. And we might go in a little bit deeper into aspects of that. But maybe one thing that I didn't say on the outset, which I think is very important for people to remember, your career lifespan could be about 40, 45 years, less or more, depending how when people take time out to have families or when they retire in life. So what the key point we really love you to take away, if nothing else today, is that you don't have to plan for the entire career lifespan at all. Like 40, 45 years, I don't know there's a business out there that's doing that sort of level of business planning. If they are, fair dues to them. But so don't feel any pressure to do that sort of level of planning for yourself. So maybe chunk it down, maybe into maybe 10, you know, what you want the next 10 years to look like. So how do you feel about 10, 15 years, or what would be your rule of thumb, Elaine, yourself?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And I think we don't need to put that pressure on ourselves to be thinking that we need to have it all figured out, or that whatever decision we make now has to be a decision that we stick with for, you know, our whole careers. And I think the good thing about kind of, you know, talking through this and kind of looking at the process of career planning is if you have an awareness of the steps involved and you start developing your career management skills, you'll be able to use that, I suppose, framework or kind of follow that process throughout your career. So when, whether it be, you know, things that you've planned for or things that you haven't planned for come up and impact your career, either positively or negatively, you'll be able to transition, you know, throughout your lifetime and throughout your career and, you know, make whatever changes are needed or whatever it might be. So this isn't one single decision that you need to make. It's the decision that you need to make for right now in order to, you know, start moving on then to next steps in your career.
Yeah, and it's really about keep making as best informed decisions as you can. So let's grasp the nettle. Tell me a little bit about knowing yourself a bit. You know, do we not know ourselves? What's going on here?
Well, I suppose this is really, about having an understanding of yourself. And really what we look at when we're working with people in a career guidance and coaching capacity is having a level of self-awareness that will allow you to make, good, informed, confident decisions. And I suppose understand what's going to suit you in terms of different opportunities and different careers. So the different things that we would look at is, values. So what's important to someone in terms of their career? What do they want their career to look like? And also, I suppose, with that, how do they want their career to fit in with their life? Because if we think about it, your career is just one component of your life. And so it's kind of important to kind of look at that and look at, what are the kind of non-negotiables or what are the important things that someone wants to get from their career? Other things that we would look at then in terms of self-awareness would be identifying someone's interests. And this could be a wide variety of things. This could be, hobbies, things you like to do in your spare time. It could be looking at subjects that you enjoyed studying in school or particular aspects or modules that you've studied in your degree. Other things that we would look at then would be personality. So ensuring that you have a level of understanding of your personality and I suppose trying to see how that matches up with different careers. So, it's important to kind of look at how your personality, would fit in with different careers and making sure, that whole thing of fit is really important. So making sure that something is in line with your personality. And also then we look at skills. So it's about identifying the skills that you have that you like using and what you're good at. And again, kind of looking at opportunities that might be in line with those skills that you have that you like using or that would allow you to, maybe develop and hone those skills a little bit more. And kind of through looking at all of that, we would be increasing a person's self-awareness. And then if you're looking at opportunities and kind of aligning opportunities with those things, we're trying to increase the level of job satisfaction that someone will have in their career and, looking at career options that they might be more motivated by because it would be more in line with those things.
And let's talk about motivations and I suppose trying to marry up the motivations with our strengths, as well. So I suppose one of the things that we often hear people talk about is money and it is an important factor and people often express they want to work and earn a lot of money, but when we unpack their values and what it means for them in their wider life, we sometimes find that money does remain a high motivating factor. And usually when it's a high motivating factor, usually the phrase a lot of money comes into the sentence rather than just money. But also it also, I suppose, but usually when we unpack it, we, the person often realizes, yes, money is important, but there are other factors and it may not be the biggest factor that they had originally thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's plenty of research, even in this area around that while money might be a motivator, it doesn't necessarily increase job satisfaction. So obviously money is important and, people want to earn a certain amount. Some people will be more motivated by earning more money than others. But there's other factors to look at as well when we look at motivation. And, some people might say, it would be more important to me to feel like I'm making a difference or to help solve certain problems that people are facing or, for others, it might be, money is important, but actually, work-life balance is also important to me. So it's kind of trying to find that balance, I suppose, and looking at, I suppose, the bigger picture in terms of the different, I suppose, characteristics of work and the different characteristics of different jobs that will actually give you satisfaction. And certain things might motivate you, but not necessarily actually give you job satisfaction at the end of the day or at the end of the week.
So there is some motivation factor with money, of course there is, but to look wider, it's always important to look wider beyond the money as a motivating factor, to be more inclusive of other factors. And when you combine them together, then what is looking like a better picture. So some of the things that people might consider is, whether I I often call it, you know, do you want to have it an up and at it type job? Do you know, like, do you want to be moving? Do you want to be outdoors? Do you want to be moving? Do you want, are you okay with being desk bound? Are you okay with open plan office? Are you okay with remote learning and or not? Obviously, remote learning, remote working. You know, kind of, you know, where is your tolerances or where do you feel you have room that, you know, you could build out capacity in a particular area? Other factors in around knowing yourself, and you mentioned it around your interests and hobbies, and I always think this is, you know, a much overlooked aspect of when you're looking at your career. People often look at you blankly, like, what's that got to do with career? But it's to do with your wider life and how your career can facilitate or not facilitate, as the case may be, your interests and hobbies. So, you know, for all those people who are heavily involved in team sports like GAA and rugby, you know, that could be very important that they would be, you know, in commuting distance of their club or county. For people who have particular other outdoor pursuits like such as surfing or, you know, sailing, you know, being near, you know, commuting distance of a beach or good waterways would be very, very important to them. And they can influence, you know, because we often hear, you know, people wanting to go to various, you know, financial districts of the world, and they, you know, they have other interests and hobbies, and then they realize then they would spend their whole weekends commuting in order to do that. So sometimes it's just a shift of location and or a shift of process around it, and it just kind of ties things together. I suppose is that with a bit of luck, you know, we're talking about in a 24-hour day, you know, that we're talking about that, you know, 8 hours working, you know, hopefully no more than an hour and a half commuting. So it's just to really to show that there is, you know, the career aspect, it needs to be seriously looked at, but looked at in the context of what else is going on in your life as well. And how can both, I suppose the interplay will be as compatible as possible. Now, we can't look for perfection here. It's always a compromise. It's always what is good enough, you know, and reasonably satisfying. I spoke briefly there, but I didn't go back to it about the whole area of strengths. So we might actually have a chat about that before we go on to skills, maybe, because you also mentioned skills, Elaine. So strengths, so maybe could you maybe unpack a little bit about strengths, and I will come in there on it as well.
Yeah, so basically, you know, there's a lot of, you know, kind of conversation around things like skills, competencies, strengths, and it can be hard to actually break down, well, you know, what does it all mean and what's the difference? But if we were to look, I suppose, basically at kind of defining strengths, strengths basically look at three things. So it's about how well we perform when we're doing something, doing a certain task or a certain aspect of a job, how much energy we get from using a strength, and how often we use it. So an example of a strength could be, you know, you might be a good listener. You could be really good at it and, you know, very good at, you know, active listening and listening to people's stories or issues or whatever it might be. But while you're good at it, it isn't necessarily something that you would get energy from. Or, you know, you could actually find, okay, if, you know, people always tell me I'm a really good listener, but actually I find, you know, having spent a day listening to people, I'm exhausted from it. So it's important to kind of look at identifying your strengths and see kind of what strengths give you energy or what types of work tasks you do and, you know, kind of make up your day. And what are the ones that give you energy versus the ones that might be a little bit more draining? And so the whole idea then with kind of identifying your strengths, it ties in with the whole self-awareness piece. It's about looking at how you can play to your strengths and how you can, you know, ideally, I suppose, in an ideal world, dial down those tasks or using those strengths that don't necessarily give you as much energy as others.
It's great. And what I'd also say is just trying to give another a way to express it or another way to, I suppose, communicate this to people is, you know, maybe just kind of note down when you get into flow. Yeah. You know, where you get stuck into doing something and you just literally lose time. And, you know, you've done it. You might be a wee bit tired after because you haven't looked up for an hour or two, but you've just really kind of have a good level of satisfaction around it. And it's not draining. That would be the critical thing. And I really liked your thing that you can actually be good at something, but that doesn't mean it gives you great joy. So, and we all have to, you know, we all have to use various aspects of ourselves. And it's just to try and look at the type of careers and the jobs within those types of careers that kind of, you know, max out that as much as you can. Now, it is a little bit of trial and error, you know, as well. You kind of have to try a few things. You don't know what you have a strength in sometimes until you, I suppose, get the opportunity to do it. But based on what we know about ourselves already, whether we have a lot of work history behind us or we don't, or we're just literally have some placement work done through college or a bit of part-time work in the evenings or whatever, we kind of do would have a sense of what's, I suppose, what's resonating for us, you know, or certainly what doesn't. So even taking notes of things like that. Now, does it mean that you can have a designer job that you can eliminate all of what you don't like? Absolutely not. But you can perhaps have a tipping point that's more in your favor than not. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it's about playing with around your strengths and other people's strengths on your team. And we've only had a discussion before this episode. We've been working on a project here in work, and I liked doing one bit of it, Elaine liked doing the other bit of it, and it was very complimentary because I would have hated doing the bit she did and vice versa. So it's really kind of then you kind of widen out and working with others and collaborating with others on your team, and then the team playing to the best advantage to get whatever needs to be done, you know, because ultimately in order to get paid, you know, it's labor in return for money. Let's call a spade a spade. So it's really about how you can max out your personal satisfaction and deliver the goods for who is actually paying your salary. Okay, and that's really, I suppose, at its core level.
Before
we move on to skills, have you anything you want to come in on there, Elaine? Are you happy enough we move on, or throw anything up there now if you want?
When I'd be talking to people about strengths, you know, it's one thing kind of looking at, you know, your day to day and kind of maybe making a note of like that, as you say, you know, when you're in the flow and like when you lose time doing a task, it's a good sign that, you know, you might be using your strengths while doing it. But the other thing is even listening to the language that you use. So if you're saying, you know, oh, I have to do this, or I need to do that, or I should do this, there could be a little clue there. So, you know, this is the thing that's called strength spotting. So it's kind of looking for those little clues as to when you are playing to your strengths and when you're not. So if you kind of listen to the language that you use and what you say when you have to do or are going to do certain things, there could be a clue there. So again, if you're, instead of saying, you know, I should do this or I have to do that, you're instead saying, I'm going to do this or I want to do that, then those are the things that would be more in line with your strengths versus the things that you should do, have to do, need to do.
Yeah. And do you know what I often feel as well, that I can think of so many examples where I've said those phrases to myself, you know, positively or negatively, whatever's going on. But, you know, it can be very hard if at this moment in time that if you are only see all of the negative aspects, do you know what I mean, of what you're doing, whether, you know, you're getting, you know, your particular challenging part of your program or your degree, you know what I mean? You can kind of get stuck for a while. How do you kind of, any kind of tips around kind of, I suppose, kind of seeing things, you know, a little bit more clearly when maybe you're just surrounded by doing things that you have to do or should do?
Yeah, so I suppose like that, as you were making the point a couple of minutes ago, you know, it's hard. We can't just, you know, in work say to our managers, oh, you know, I'm not doing this because it's not in line with my strengths or it isn't something I enjoy
doing. I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Obviously, there's inevitably going to be things that you just need to do and it's part of your job. I suppose when you are kind of in that situation, and it will vary depending on the situation that you're in. So, you know, for example, you know, when you're in maybe a program of study, you're doing your degree or something like that, and you're kind of having those kind of, you know, thoughts or kind of conversations with yourself, oh God, you know, I'm doing all these things that I don't really want to do. You know, sometimes there can be no getting away from it. But then like that, it could be about looking at other aspects of your life and how you could maybe incorporate more, you know, enjoyment or tasks that will give you energy. And I suppose it could be about trying to create that balance. You might not get all of that from work. And I suppose that's the good thing about strengths, is it actually looks at your life as more of a whole. So like that, while there could be something that you don't really get enjoyment from in work, you could maybe balance that out with a hobby or doing something you enjoy in your downtime. Or it could even be kind of balancing out the different activities. So for example, you might do something that, you know, doesn't really give you energy, but following that, you might do something that you have identified will kind of bring your energy back up and will be something that will kind of play to your strengths more. So it really kind of comes back to that kind of bigger picture, looking at things as a whole and, you know, kind of seeing, I suppose, with your self-awareness, what else you can do to kind of work things to your advantage, if that explains it.
Yeah, and it's a very good point. And I suppose is that, you know, we all hit a rut, you know, from time to time, you know, even in careers that you're very satisfied with. So that is normal. But it's also kind of maybe another tip, just when you were talking, it just occurred to me, is just have a look at, you know, through what kind of mindset are you looking at the challenge, you know, the particular challenge at the moment, whether it's career planning or, you know, not knowing whether your next steps in life are going to be, or how are you going to move on to the next step, is just kind of saying, just ask yourself, are you looking through the lens of being optimistic or pessimistic? And even if you're doing things that are in a situation that's not quite in keeping about where you want to go, is to maybe relook at it and kind of say, well, how can I look at this that in a way that it is useful for me? You know, so if I'm getting a bit stuck, you know, with my program, well, you know, look at the bigger picture. I'll be getting my degree soon, and or I'll be getting my master's soon, or there's another light in the tunnel, or there's modules coming up there now that I actually think are more in keeping with what I want to really study. You know, so it's kind of look at the bigger picture, as you said. And again, you will get stuck from time to time in your career and kind of saying, well, I really need to look at myself again. I need to examine whether I need to move on differently with my career. But in the meantime, it'd be really useful to kind of say, how can I look at my current situation just even 10% differently, so I have a better mindset towards it and I have a greater life satisfaction as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's tough now. I wouldn't say it's easy, but you'll win it. You'll win the battle some days and you won't others. But it's just to really try and keep at it. So skills now. So in my mind's eye, sometimes we think about our skills that we have, and then we hear out there about what skills employers want. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're not always the one and the same thing. Okay. So this is where maybe we could have a broader discussion. Okay, so we might start off, Elaine, about skills that you have, and then we might widen it out then to what skills employers are actually looking for.
Yeah, well, I suppose if we were to kind of look at skills in contrast to strengths, so a skill is basically the ability to do something well. And typically we have the ability to do something well because we might have, you know, knowledge around it, we might practice something. So, you know, the more practice we get of using a skill, you know, the idea would be that the better we get at it. Or we might have, you know, an aptitude for a certain thing. So this is where, you know, with a skill, we're not really talking about energy and things like that. So it's different in that way. So examples of skills would be things like communication skills, teamwork, organization skills. So again, they're things that we can be good at. We may or may not get a lot of energy from, but we can do them and we can do them well. And I suppose we kind of need to look at skills in the broader picture, really, in that we can be developing skills in lots of different ways. So it isn't just from work experience. You know, we're developing a lot of skills, you know, when we do our degree, for example. You know, students in their degrees develop a lot of transferable skills. If we think about critical thinking, analytical thinking, research skills, communication skills, teamwork, you know, from doing things like group projects. We can develop skills from extracurricular activities, you know, things that we do in our spare time as hobbies. And, you know, it could be team sports, it could be, you know, music, anything like that. There's, you know, plenty of opportunities to develop our skills. So I suppose, you know, something that I would kind of work with people on is really kind of identifying those skills and looking at both, I suppose, hard skills or technical skills, and as well the more kind of transferable or transversal skills like your communication or your teamwork.
And I suppose the one of the areas around skills is to, you know, back to that knowing yourself about what skills you have, maybe ones that you might need a little bit more tweaking on, you know, whether you need to up your technical skills, say on Excel or your broader digital skills, or just that whole area of understanding, you know, the industry or the occupation that you're planning to enter or have a curiosity about, is to kind of identify, you know, that can be as simple as just reading lots of job descriptions. What is the pattern of skills that employers are looking for, you know, and identifying, you know, how much of them you have, what's your own self-identified skill level, and is there any glaring gaps? Now, usually there's, if you have been, you know, studying in that particular area or studying in a, an area that would be highly transferable, you know, some of the technical skills you will have from your program of study. But what about, Elaine, you know, if there's a pattern emerging and there's glaring skill gaps, what would you suggest there?
Yeah, well, I suppose it will depend on the types of skills that you're looking at and what you've identified as gaps. So I think, you know, coming back to the point that you were making there, it's a really good idea to, you know, again, as part of the whole self-awareness step, have an understanding of the skills that you have and kind of look at how you've developed those skills so that you can, you know, have examples of how you've actually developed and honed your skills. But when you're then at a point where you're kind of looking at, well, what does all that mean and how does that relate to the world of work? It is a good idea to look at job descriptions. But where you find that there might be a skills gap, or you're reading job descriptions that, you know, are kind of looking for, there's a trend or a theme that employers are looking for certain skills that you just don't have, you really need to look at, well, what opportunities might be available to me, or what opportunities could I avail of to bridge that gap and develop those skills that I'm missing. So that's why the first step is really important in terms of the self-awareness, so that you actually take a really hard look at what skills do I have and how have I developed those skills, because sometimes we don't actually realize or recognize all the skills that we do have. But then again, it is important to kind of look at, well, what opportunities are available to me now to actually develop more skills? Or maybe there's a particular skill that is coming up kind of time and time again, and it's something that you will have to look at, you know, maybe working on to increase your chances of getting whatever opportunities you might be looking at.
So that could be a short course or something, Elaine, yeah. A micro-credential.
Absolutely. And there's so many different, you know, things available now, like that, online courses, short courses that you can do. And as well, it's about kind of looking at, you know, it doesn't necessarily all need to be from work experience. It could very well be a course that you do. And that will show a lot of things as well. If you're taking it upon yourself to use your initiative to do the research, to, you know, find a suitable course, to take the time to do that course, that will all say a lot to an employer, as well as the fact that you might be developing certain skills or knowledge through doing the course.
Now, the other thing that what I would say to everybody as well is that you may find a trend emerging, just say, of a skills gap. Now, what the next step would be to find out, is it a critical skills gap and does it need to be closed off before you can be taken seriously or brought through a recruitment and selection process? So a useful thing is to maybe to consult with your careers advisor. You know, they might have some insight. You know, because some things you can learn on the job, you know, that wouldn't necessarily need a course. And somebody might be able to say to you, listen, you've so much else going for you. I would put it in, see what happens. You know, if you're not getting through process, you might need to consider doing a micro credential. It wouldn't be a panacea that you'd be brought forward, but it does show a lot of initiative. The other thing we might be to do is maybe contact people who are in that profession or in that industry and just check in with them and say, listen, I've noticed X, Y, Z coming up, you know, in this particular industry sector or that particular role. What insights do you have on that? And they would say, oh, yeah, if you want to get into marketing, this is, you know, or whatever the profession is, you really do need to have ABC. Okay, they will not even look at you. Or do you know what it is? They do have it down a lot. It's not as critical as you might think. It's something you can learn on the job.
And I think that that's an important point. And that's another thing that we would kind of work with people on, you know, looking at a job description. You don't need to tick every single box. Mm-hmm. Yes, there will be some skills that will be absolutely essential. But you don't need to tick every single box in order to apply for a job. So that kind of ties in with the whole thing about knowing your options and exploring your options and the opportunities that are available to you. It's actually getting that information, getting those insider insights, whether it be from a careers advisor or someone in that profession, and get that information before you actually rule yourself out from an opportunity.
Yeah. And I suppose the other thing as well is that, you know, sometimes we're looking at our careers only from the point of what we think we can do as opposed to what we want to do. Yeah. So, you know, so it is okay to be exploring maybe 2 to 3 career options at a time. And I suppose seeing where opportunities develop or not develop, as the case may be, but not to narrow your vision only to what the title of the title of the job is in relation to your skill set right now. So sometimes it can be that you can move a little bit more into the area that you would really like to do, even if you don't have a provable skill set. So you might do the role of the skill set you have, but in the occupation setting, i.e. say, you know, a particular industry like, you know, pharmaceutical, if you really want to work in the pharmaceutical industry, but, you know, you're not, you don't have the background they're looking for, you might look, you know, and if your background is marketing, you might go and work in marketing within the pharmaceutical sector. So sometimes there's a way to blend it and get more into the occupation setting. If you can't, you know, if you don't actually have the skill set to do the core role. Any insights on that aspects of things, Elaine?
Yeah, I just think to kind of break that down a little bit, it ties in as well with that whole thing of knowing your options. And as you were saying there, it's perfectly fine to, you know, maybe be exploring 3 different options in terms of, you know, careers and, you know, different jobs. And I suppose, again, you know, it's being open minded in that regard is never a bad thing. But it comes back to actually making sure that you have enough information on the opportunities that are available to you and not, you know, maybe basing your decisions on assumptions, mm-hmm. Base your decisions on information that you've gathered. And you can do that in a variety of different ways. You know, it could be online research. It could be informational interviewing, you know, as we discussed there, talking to people in the profession that you might be looking to enter into, getting work experience, work shadowing, voluntary work. There's so many different ways of going about it. Having conversations with your careers advisor, you know, what are the options with my degree? What have people done previously? Where have graduates gone? There's a lot of information there that can be useful to actually help you, I suppose, you know, maybe broaden your horizons a little bit and actually look at, yeah, okay, you know, there might not be opportunities exactly in this area right now, or, you know, actually, I don't have the hard skills that I need to get into this specific role. But yeah, I could work within the pharmaceutical industry, but in a different capacity, you know, as you made reference to there.
We might actually move on to, you know, because we've kind of been alluding to it there now, is about how to keep on track with your career, you know, when opportunities are just not available. And that can happen at any stage of your life. There can be, obviously, we're recording this in May and, you know, May 2020, and we're still, you know, in the transition phases of COVID. But there's so many circumstances, you know, in life that can be boom bust cycles all the way throughout your career. You might have to move country, you know, for positive or negative reasons. There's so many things, you know, that could be, you know, take, you know, time out for rearing families, all sorts of, or caring for a relative. There's just so many circumstances, you know, that maybe the opportunities that you're interested in are just not available, you know, at that current time. So I suppose, you know, from my point of view, you know, I find it's very important, you know, not to let any particular circumstance, you know, maybe de-story you and take away your own career vision. But it might be about, well, what are the micro steps that I can take to get back on track or to be as near to it as I can be? Okay, so it's about, it is a compromise, you know. So I might be doing a very different role, but there may be some elements of that role that, you know, bring me joy, you know, and it's to try and find the joy in it as well. What's your own perspective there, Elaine?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, we're talking about career planning here, but at the end of the day, we can only plan for so much. Mm-hmm. You know, as you mentioned, the current situation that we're in with COVID-19.
That's, you know, not your fault. It's not my fault. It's, you know,
And that's the reality, and that's life, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And again, it's about kind of looking at what you can do and, I suppose, kind of focusing on maybe what you can plan for and focusing on what's in your control. Because like that, there's always going to be so many things that are outside of our control. And it's about, you know, things that we were talking about there, using your time wisely, being open-minded to other opportunities, you know, again, you know, economies, you know, they boom and they bust and all of that. So it's about kind of looking at, you know, the current situation, or, you know, the situation that you're in, that you might find yourself in, and kind of being open-minded, taking the time to, you know, whether it be kind of do careers research, or, you know, you might be focusing on kind of looking at, you know, your applications or what your CV looks like, and maybe looking at the type of roles that you might be interested in getting into, doing more research into those, you know, as we mentioned, kind of looking what are the gaps and what could you be doing during this time to bridge those gaps, as we said, you know, through maybe online courses or micro credentials, or, you know, it could just be even watching YouTube tutorials to brush up on, you know, things like Excel or whatever it might be, things that maybe you've done in the past but you haven't, you know, kind of focused on more recently. So it's really about, you know, kind of, as I say, kind of using your time wisely and as best as you can.
And I think as well is sometimes is I and I've met so many people, you know, that maybe, you know, maybe mature students coming back to college or coming back to professionals coming back to do a part time program in the evening time or whatever. And so many say when, you know, we ask them to go through, you know, gives your career history so far. And so many times we hear time and time again, including probably ourselves, Elaine, some things just happened by accident, you know, and someone told you of a job. You gave it a shot. They believed in you. They thought you were worth taking a risk. They took you on. And it opened up a whole different world to you that you never probably even knew existed. You probably never would have went into, you know, if you know if you were doing, you know, anything. So sometimes, you know, there's this thing just maybe, you know, planned happenstance. You know, you're kind of, you put yourself in the way of opportunities. You do all the work, but then, you know, you take an opportunity when it arrives to you and take a risk on it. Obviously, a safe risk, not jumping off cliff risks. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of looking, you know, like positive and negative things can happen, whether it's planned or unplanned. And, you know, sometimes good things can come from unexpected events, mm-hmm. and opportunities can come from them. So, you know, you might have a certain plan, or you might have had a certain plan in mind previously, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But chances are another opportunity came as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the important thing when we're looking at career planning is that we're open to that change, and we're flexible in our approach to it. And it's about more so how we manage these transitions and these changes, as opposed to the transitions and the changes themselves. You know, so it's about how we deal with it, how we cope with it, and how we can kind of adjust and be adaptable to these different things. Because as I say, it might be something unexpected, or it might seem negative, but it will lead you on to something else, or it will kind of reroute you on to maybe something that you were already meant to be doing anyway. And, you know, things can kind of come good in the end, really. So, yeah, it can't all be planned out.
Yeah, but a bit of planning, and it really comes back to like the constant thought that's coming back into my head time and time again is a couple of things, more than one thought, of loads of thoughts, too many thoughts. I suppose it's back down to that knowing yourself, Elaine, and it's the one, I suppose it's the hardest piece of the whole thing. I think we all tend to run away from that piece. Do you know, we jump on to doing our CV, or we jump on to looking at jobs boards, as you said. And, do you know, we run to get busy and, you know, and be, you know, but maybe just start to kind of taking a little bit of note, you know, am I resisting really looking about what I want? Do you know, am I resisting spending a little bit of time with a blank piece of paper and, you know, doing a mind map or doodles, or, you know, why am I so reluctant to go there? Do you know? And it can be because we don't like what we see sometimes, and that's okay. It's very hard. I don't know that I've ever met somebody that absolutely thought they were the bee's knees, you know what I mean, and drew out a mind map about themselves, 1, 2, 3. It's always a little bit tough to do it, but just start somewhere, I suppose, you know.
Yeah. And the other thing I suppose I find working with people on this is that sometimes they don't realize that this is the first step and how important and useful it can be. And it's a really good exercise to do, to actually look at the whole self-awareness piece. And that's where I often find that people might, like that, jump straight onto a jobs board or you know, a college website and kind of say, oh, you know, I'm going to do a master's, so I need to go onto this college website and pick a course, or I need to go onto a jobs board and find a job. And then we might find that they get completely overwhelmed because they actually don't know what they're looking for, and they don't know how to narrow down the options, and they don't know what will suit them. And that can be very overwhelming. But I suppose my key thing would be that the self-awareness piece is so important, and it's the first step for a reason, because you will be able to narrow down the options and I suppose have more confidence in kind of knowing the options that will suit you if you actually do take the time to look at it. And it can be hard to do. It can be very hard to kind of say, well, actually, I don't really know what's important to me in terms of work, or I don't really know what will suit me. Or it can be difficult to say, well, look, I'm really interested in sport or fitness or music, but oh, I don't know if I could do a career related to that, or how I'd even go about it. And I suppose that's where, you know, we'd come in as careers advisors to try and help people with all of that as well.
And I suppose is for anyone listening there and they're quite stuck on that, and obviously in DCU, we'd love you to come to the career service too, and we'll help you unpack that. But I suppose is that just maybe have a conversation, you know, listen to yourself and say, you know, is this really that I'm just not confident about myself? You know, because sometimes it's just that we're just lacking in a bit of confidence here about ourselves, and we're not trusting ourselves to make a good decision. And we can be a little bit more looking around and seeing what everyone else is doing. And if Mary and Tommy are doing X, Y, Z, well, maybe I'll do what they're doing because they're really good and they know what they're doing and they don't make mistakes. And actually, if you were talking to Mary and Tommy, they'd be kind of going, oh my God, I'm really scared. I don't know that I'm making the right decision. So we can look at other people and kind of say they've got it together. They know what they're about. They're confident. They're this, they're that. They're moving, they're shaping. Do you know, they're on it. And we're left sitting there kind of going, what about me? I haven't a clue. So it's really to kind of say is that most people, you know, do lack confidence in having a look about what they really do want. Okay. And looking at that self-awareness piece and just to acknowledge that for yourself, I'm not feeling confident. I'm just going to give it a shot. I'm going to see what I can get down on a piece of paper. I'll come back to it another day or two times. See, can I add to it? See, do I need to take anything off it? Is there any other aspect? And maybe take aspects of it one at a time. What are my strengths? Then look at another day, look at your skills. Then look at your kind of self another day or another part of the day and kind of say, well, what are my interests and hobbies? You know, what do I want my typical day to look like? Where might I be? You know, and, you know, you can do kind of maybe a little visualization and kind of say, well, it's 5 years time and I'm waking up, you know, what sort of clothes am I wearing to work? Am I driving to work? Am I working from home? Who am I having? Who's on my team? You know, what sort of things am I doing each day? Am I working with customers? Am I working in back end operations? Am I working in front end operations? Am I working in the public service? Am I working with children? Am I working in patients? Do you know, have a think, you know, just kind of maybe I think a little bit of daydreaming is no harm. Sleepwalking, I'm against, big against the sleepwalking. Because people sleepwalk around in their careers. But a little bit of daydreaming is never any harm, Elaine. What's your absolutely thoughts on that? Dare to dream.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like that, when you're doing this, nothing is off the table. Yeah. Nothing is silly or something that isn't worth putting down on the paper. At this point, we put everything down. And as you mentioned, Siobhan, you know, when you kind of talk to people in a guidance session about their interests and hobbies, they might kind of look at you funny and kind of say, why are you asking me about this? But again, it's all relevant at that point. And, you know, we're looking for clues when we kind of look at all of these things. And visualization is a really useful tool at this point when you're kind of trying to look at what you want your career to look like. And again, how you want it to fit in with your life. So it's a useful exercise and definitely worth giving it a go and kind of seeing, you know, if you can kind of make sense of it. And then it can be easier from there then, especially if you kind of visualize things, to see how might that actually translate to the labor market and the world of work, and, you know, what opportunities might kind of match up with what you've gotten down on that piece of paper.
And remember, an employer needs, you know, they're taking a risk and they need to, you know, have confidence that you're the right hire for them. But it's very hard for them to be confident about hiring you if you're not that confident about yourself. And unfortunately, that lack of confidence can seep through. And a lot of it comes from, you know, just not being, you know, confident in yourself. And, you know, that can be so improved by getting your own story together and knowing yourself, because you're more likely to pitch yourself towards jobs that are available, that are more in keeping with your skills, with your talents, with your abilities, with your own values. So you're already creating the right fit for a potential employers by, you know, having your own story in good enough shape. It doesn't have to be absolutely perfect, but knowing yourself well enough to kind of say, with a little bit of confidence, do you know what? I think I could give that a good shot. I'm able to do ABC, I'm interested in XYZ, I know I'm the type of person that can work well in a small team or a big team or work by myself, whatever the case may be. They're the qualities that they're looking for, I have. So it doesn't mean that you have to be a very extroverted person or anything, a big show person about it, that, you know, that uber confidence I'm talking about. No, just that inner quiet confidence. You know what? I could actually do that, given half a chance. And I suppose that that's the kind of, and the thing around the hobbies and the interests again is that when we're looking at the hobbies and interests, we don't know whether a hobby and interest can develop into a career or into a sideline, or is it just a hobby? So when we're talking about your life satisfaction, you know, there are certain things that maybe people might say might be, you mentioned music, and if we haven't already mentioned art, you know, let's mention art. You know, some people feel very confident that they want to, and they will be able to develop a career in their hobbies and interests. They want to. Other people say, do you know what it is? It will no longer become a hobby and an interest. It will become a pressure that I don't want associated with this gift that I have. So I'd much prefer to, you know, develop a career in a different area and gig, you know, at the weekends with my band, or, you know, go sing in my choir or whatever. And that will bring me joy. It won't bring me joy to develop my career in it, or vice versa. It will bring me joy. And I see it that I could have the talent and abilities. I could see myself earning a living through this. And I want to do it, you know. So we all can do an awful lot of things. The trick is finding out, do you want to do it? And that's the whole self-awareness piece. And I know we're going on and on about it, but I suppose I think it's so important, isn't it? And it's one of the things we know, you know, everyone runs away a bit from.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is worth doing. It's worth kind of giving it some time, because it can make such a huge difference, as I mentioned at the start, in terms of your job satisfaction and how motivated you are in your career, and how, you know, how content and happy you are really in your career at the end of the day. So it pays off, you know. It's a good investment, I suppose, in terms of your time and effort.
Yeah, and everything is about the good enough. You know, not looking for perfection, just what's good enough. Okay, so we're going to finish up, Lane. What would be your top tip out of the whole conversation today? And before I, you know, just have a think about that, I suppose we really want to say to people, this has been a long episode of the podcast. As you can probably hear in our voices, we're very passionate about this. This is what we do for a living. We love it. We love meeting people and doing this sort of work with people. But we will kind of tease out different aspects in other podcast episodes. But we just wanted to really kind of give a good overview to people, so they might be able to track on and do bits and pieces themselves. Book for a careers appointment if that's what they wanted to do, but just kind of get things rolling, and then we will tease out various aspects of what we've been talking into more detailed episodes. So what would be your top tip there, Elaine?
I suppose my top tip would be, you know, inform yourself. So inform yourself about your self-awareness and about the opportunities, and make sure that you have enough information before you make a career decision, and make sure that you, because that will increase your confidence level in terms of making that decision. So take the time and start with exploring your self-awareness would be, I suppose, my top tip.
And I suppose my top tip, I always say the top tip bit wrong. I'm always afraid I'm going to mispronounce it. I suppose I'd really love people to take from today that you're worth it. Okay, we refer to the great L'Oreal ad of because you're worth it. I think I'd love people to kind of say to themselves, you know, I'm worth spending this amount of time on. And to really look at your own self-esteem in this area and kind of say, if it's a little bit low, if you feel a little bit bruised and battered about your career or your prospects, don't. Maybe just take a little bit of time to kind of say, look, I'm worth spending that little bit of time on. And if you do nothing else, you know, for the next week or so after listening to this, is really having to think about what's important to you and what's not important to you. And about what you'd like to look at in that knowing yourself piece and just begin. And careers are messy. We've spoken about that quite a lot, that careers are very messy. So this whole thing of putting that kind of, I suppose, picture board together about yourself and knowing yourself, it just needs to be, it can be a mess on the page. It is okay, because that's what it means to be human. It's all a bit messy, and to just go with it and don't overly structure it. Just put it down and evaluate things from there and make the next right step for you. So just going to finish up with that, Elaine, and thank you very much. That was great. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.